Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate for the 200th time the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. This feast had been instituted in 1667 as a special feast for an order of the Servants of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it was 200 years ago that Pope Pius VII extended this feast to the entire church and placed it on the universal calendar the day after the feast of the celebration of the triumph of the Lord's cross. So today we're called to mark this feast with special devotion. The cult of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary is ancient in the church. It goes back to the early days when we ponder Simeon's words that we heard in the entrance antiphon today, that Jesus would be a sign of contradiction for the rise and the ruin of many, but that her own soul a sword will pierce. Second of the sorrows was when Jesus was hunted down by Herod's assassins, and she and Joseph needed to flee with him into the desert. Third sorrow, when she had lost Jesus, every mother's worst nightmare, for 3 days, only finding him later in the temple. Fourth through seventh all happened at Calvary, as we just heard in that gospel, when she met her son along that way of the cross, when she saw him nailed to the tree and suffering there before her, the body she used to bathe in water now bathed in blood. Sixth was when they lowered him into her arms and she held the bloody corpse of the one whom she used to hold in swaddling clothes. And then lastly, when she and the others placed his cadaver in the tomb in expectation of the resurrection. Each of those times was like a jackhammer piercing Mary's heart. But in each of those, she was shearing her son's not only pain as a martyr, as we just heard in the Gospel antiphon, a dry martyr, not a wet one, a white, not a red one. Not only did she suffer that martyrdom, but she was shearing in his triumph, co-redeeming with him at each step along the way. But it's not enough for us on this day to look at the beautiful banner in the back of the Pietà, to imagine Mary courageously standing at the foot of her son. We're called to be compassionate to her, literally to share that suffering. That's what we prayed for with the shocking words of the sequence we heard before the Gospel. O sweet Mother, fount of love, touch my spirit from above. Make my heart with thine accord. Make me feel as thou hast felt. Do we really want that? Help me to weep like you, Mary. Make me feel as thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord. Holy Mother, pierce me through. In my heart, each wound renew of my Savior crucified. Let me share with you his pain, who for all my sins was slain, who for me in torments died. Let me mingle tears with you, mourning him who mourned for me. Every day I live by the cross with you to stay, there with you to weep and pray. Is all I ask of you to give. Can we really say that? I'm asking this one favor. Let me share with you what you have gone through. Virgin of all virgins blessed, listen to my fond request. Let me share your grief divine. Let me to my latest breath in my body bear the death of the dying son of yours. Wounded with his every wound, steep my soul till it is swooned in his very blood away. That's what we're asking. We're asking literally to enter into that heart as the heart is pierced. Into her soul, as her soul is sorrowful, like her sons, even until death. That's what this feast is meant to help us to do, to enter into Mary's own grief, so that it might change us, and change us in two ways. Change us to become truly compassionate to others, and change us at the same time to have a real horror for what pierces Mary's heart. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated the feast of St. Monica, that mother of St. Augustine. We pondered how for 32 years she wept for the conversion of her husband, for the conversion of her mother-in-law, for the conversion of her son, the future St. Augustine. Monica was holy. She was cleansed by her sins over the course of time. But how much more pure, how much more copious must be the tears of a mother of the entire human race? Must be the tears of a mom who's sinless, so she's able to appreciate the pain even more without trying to get to the substitutes. And that's what Mary weeps. She weeps for us. She weeps for her entire children. Today in the Gospel, we had what Pope St. John Paul II called Mary's Third Annunciation. First Annunciation is right here by the Archangel Gabriel. Second Annunciation was by Simeon in the temple at Jesus' presentation. But the third was carried out by Jesus himself when, seeing her and his beloved disciple St. John standing there at the foot of the cross, said to them respectively, "Woman, behold your son, and behold your mother." She became our mother. And so our sorrows clearly became her sorrows, our pain hers, our sins the cause of her weeping. On Friday this week, we will mark the feast of Our Lady of La Salette, very dear to us in the Diocese of Fall River. But what do we see happen September 19th, 1846, when the 14-year-old Melanie Calva and the 11-year-old Maximin Giraud are shepherding their sheep along the slopes of the French Alps? In a little shrine they had built that they called Paradise, they saw a woman sobbing. So they drew near to see what this woman was sobbing about. It was Our Lady. And she wanted to show them the real way to Paradise, and with a mother's heart to remind the entire world that many were not on that road. She was weeping, and she said for four reasons. Because everybody was blaspheming. Instead of praising the name of the Lord, they were cursing him. Second, it's that they weren't praying. Third, that they weren't observing the Lord's Day. And fourth, they weren't even converting even in Lent. So Mary was weeping. I have a statue of Our Lady of La Salette in my chapel over in the rectory that I ponder a lot. Mary crunched over with her face in her hands, weeping, just as these two kids saw. Weeping for our sins, weeping for the sins of the whole world. And we're asking her today, make me share your grief divine. Help me to understand what that is, so that I might weep for my sins. Help me to enter into your compassion so that I might love each other, others in such a way that I may mourn for them too. Because it's only those who are mournful who will be blessed, who will be consoled. That's the grace she wants to earn for us today. One cause of her sorrow is the division in her son's church. Specifically as a result of sin, because it's always sin that divides. Today's first reading, we heard that very important passage from St. Paul about how we're supposed to celebrate the Eucharist. We know, as we pondered yesterday, that there's an intrinsic connection between the Last Supper and Calvary, because it was together in that one big moment that Jesus gave his body and his blood for us and for our salvation. And it's at the foot of the cross and also at the Last Supper, entered into in time, that Mary wants to gather all her spiritual sons and daughters. But how great a sorrow it is for her that so few, relatively speaking, come. She has a family of 5 children. Only one shows up for the Dominical Thanksgiving. The other 4 are out doing other things. Only 20% of Catholics come. But what must ache her too is when we come, often we're not really united. We're just going about our own individual spiritual devotions without really allowing to happen what God wants to happen. And that's what St. Paul was admonishing the Corinthians about. That they would come for the Eucharist, and then, as always would happen in the early church, and still happens in a lot of places today, thanks be to God, and it should happen in every Catholic place, they get together for an agape. They're not taken off to see everybody. They're not taken off to go do all their other work. They're spending time with their family members. And they would have what was called an agape meal, a love meal. It was a potluck, because there was a great disparity between the rich and the poor. And so everybody would bring food, and then it would be open for everybody, so that whether you were rich or poor, you'd at least eat well in the Lord's Day. But St. Paul said there in Corinth, the rich were bringing their fancy wines and their choice dishes, and the poor were basically starving as the rich were getting drunk. He said, how could you possibly do that after the Eucharist, when you've been brought into one body, one spirit in Christ, when you've been made a family by the Lord? So he challenged them on that point, to really live what the Eucharist is supposed to bring about. And how much our mother mourns when we don't really have that type of unity her son died to achieve for us. If we wish to get to heaven, we've got to remember that heaven is going to be a true communion of persons in love, a communion of saints, entered into that communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the great way that we prepare for heaven is by entering into that communion here on earth. Do we weep when we don't see that communion? You know, Pope Francis last year, when he went to Lampedusa, that tiny little island in which 20,000 people over the last 25 years have perished, trying to escape persecution and poverty in Africa and get to the shores of what seems to be the horizon of hope, which is Europe. He went there and said, the blood of our brothers and sisters cries out to us all. But he said, before we even get to the question of what practical help we need to give to our brothers and sisters, he said, have you wept? Have you really bawled your eyes out of the fate of these brothers and sisters? Pregnant women drowning in the Mediterranean are getting crushed by capsized boats against the rocks on the southern cliff of that island. Have you wept? One of the most important things we need to learn how to do in faith, and Mary wants to teach us, is to truly learn how to mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. They will be comforted. And in our culture that Pope Francis has lived so often in soap bubbles, we anesthetize reality. Many of us have lost this capacity to weep. When was the last time we wept for someone not coming to Mass on Sunday and choosing to work rather than to worship? When was the last time we wept over somebody who died because of a drug addiction? On Thursday night, I was called into the hospital. I was covering the hospital late at night. There was a woman who died, and her family wanted the prayers to be said. We can't anoint somebody after they died, but I anticipated I would go up there in order to meet the family and help the family grieving. So I got up there as quickly as I could, walked into the emergency room. I asked where this woman was. They said she's in the trauma unit. So I went around. I had never been into the trauma unit. There's actually a door up at Charlton that closes it. And so I had to ask directions again where this woman was. And then I went into the trauma unit, and there she was, all alone, cold, no family members. So I did the prayers of the dead over her. But it was weird praying alone with someone who had died without any family members there. I didn't know what was at all the story. And so I went outside, and there was a police detective there. And I asked him what had happened. He said she had OD'd on that form of heroin that's doctored with this poisonous chemical that's led to dozens of deaths in Fall River just this year. And obviously she had been in a halfway house. Her parents apparently wanted her still anointed, but they weren't even there with her after she had died. Who knows, they may have lived far away. I don't know the rest of the story. But I got into my car, and I could do nothing other than weep. Weep for this 50-something-year-old woman who was addicted to drugs, who basically took her own life through that addiction. Do we weep over things like this? That's why it's important for us on this day to weep for our sins that grieve our mother, and to weep for all the evil that's out there, the evil that constantly divides us from God and from each other. And we really say today, Mother, make me share thy grief divine. Because just as the tears of Monica eventually made her a saint, so if we're able to learn in Mary's school how to share that divine grief, that will be the means that will lead us, paradoxically, to eternal joy and celebration. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.